This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Star Guys, a podcast about Stargirl on the CW. I'm a Star Guy signing on for this old episode. My name is Alex.
I'm a Star Guy too, dwelling in darkness, letting the world wash over me. I'm Justin.
This shit's depressing as fuck. Sprinkled with a little creepy kid in there. No thanks. I'm Pete.
End of podcast.
We are going to be talking about Stargirl Season 2, Episode 7, Summer School, Chapter 7, the latest episode of Stargirl. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Get super bummed out and then come back here so we can talk about it.
Question now, your life, what you're doing.
Now, brief bit of recap, just broad overview of the episode. We are finally getting to something that we have long speculated about this season, exactly what's going on with Yolanda. Maybe there's a little bit of a question mark there still by the end of the episode. But we do at least get to see Yolanda dealing with what seems to be some sort of psychic vision of both Brainwave and Brainwave Jr. dealing with their deaths, whether caused by her or otherwise. And by the end of the episode, Yolanda has pretty much checked out, is her reaction. Given up Wildcat, left her diner job, maybe left town for good. We don't know. But yeah, real bummer, guys. Real bummer.
The entire tenor of the show has changed. Yeah. Obviously, this episode, Yolanda goes through a lot, but every aspect of this show is different now. It's literally darker lighting-wise. It's the tone across the board, the way that everything is shot is very much like sort of pulled back and stoic. It's a slower-paced show. It's wild.
Well, something to mention about this episode that I think in particular is interesting is, paralleled with last season, saddling Yolanda with hands down the emotionally heaviest episodes of the show. Like last season, she was dealing with the nude photo scandal, something that really came out in a big way. Initially, she found a way out of it by dressing as Wildcat, but it started off really sad. And now we get another episode just really just digging into her on almost every front. To the point that, and I assume this is part of the point of the episode, but not to be too blunt about it, but last season we were dealing with the fact that she was violated, and now again she is being violated potentially by Brainwave, maybe by Eclipso, something like that. And it's upsetting. It's supposed to be upsetting, but it's very upsetting to watch.
Yeah. And also, like, we don't get any resolution really of this mystery. The fact that not only is she being violated, but she's like, it could be this new menace or this old guilt-ridden menace for me. Like, it's bad. We know it's bad, but we don't know how bad it is. Mm-hmm. And then it's cut off. Then she is sort
well,
of
I mean,
taken
it's
out of the
so
story.
Bad. Brainwave got lost in the sadness for a month, and I kind of feel like that after this episode. It is fucking super depressing, and it just hurt to watch. And then I have a thing for creepy kids, and when you put a fucking creepy kid in the episode, I don't know what else we're supposed to fucking do with our lives. All right.
Well, you love creepy kids, or you're like, oh, I don't like creepy kids.
No, I don't like kids. And no offense to your guys' kids, other people's kids.
You don't like any kids?
Yeah, yeah. And especially if you have them alone in the dark, that's the creepiest thing of all time.
That's where my kids always are.
I don't think you're growing them correctly. They need sunlight.
The sun is bad for them.
Yeah, the sun is bad for them. So I asked them, hey, can you stand and just stare at the corner in the darkness? Would you mind doing that? And they do it anyway. And sometimes they appear in the mirror to me. Like I'm looking in the mirror and I just see like a flit of them come by.
Oh, man.
That's good. And I'm like, these are good kids.
I'm raising my children of the corn. I just want them to be amongst and of the corn, you know?
Oh, man.
Great hide-and-seek area. It's nice fall. It's the great season to be in the corn.
While we're still focusing on this, I got to be honest, I'm still not sold on this creepy kid. I know you're clearly upset about it, Pete, but there's something about his laugh that feels like...
What?
I'm sorry. It feels like a director.
You started laughing at the end too with the kid. You're like, ha ha, this is so much fun.
It's there. I don't know if it's a split second pause with this stuff. I don't think you were here in the episode where they reintroduced little Brucey Gordon. I think he was fine in the first episode and creepy when he was dealing with Dr. Midnighter's kid. But then when he showed up again, he was just doing this very fakey, I'm going to really dig into this child actor and rip him a new one.
I know, you really are.
What are you doing here? I'm just going to stop myself right now. I got caught in my head right in the middle. Like,
you've already said this on this podcast once, and you're about to do it a second time.
Stop doubling down. Yeah.
As a grown man, the only way I can feel fulfillment in my life is by taking down a child actor.
Wow.
Well, but it's not like I don't. I take your point. The kid is a little, it's a little sort of.
What do you?
Yeah.
What?
But I think that's intentional. He is weird. He's meant to be playing this like old man. Like, honestly, if you want to take the blame off the actor and put it on, it's Eclipso being like, I'm trying to be creepy and I'm a like ghost of a dead villain or whatever. Like, he's like, I don't know. I'll just laugh. And honestly, the thing that bothered me the most was he takes his lollipop. And he bites it.
Oh.
Bite the lollipop. Come on.
That's creepy. What is he, an owl in that commercial?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, but he was eating a dum-dum, clearly. Mm. There's no center there. What are you trying to get to, kid? What's inside there, do you think?
The stick. Delicious stick.
You get into that sweet stick.
I was chasing stick at the center of my treats. That's why popsicle sticks, sometimes there's words on them.
Hmm. Jokes and things. It's fun. Can I be honest about something? I think the reason that I'm going so hard on this kid is I was up for the role.
Oh, that's what it was.
I went in for the role. I was like, hey, I'm reading for the role of little Brucey Gordon. They gave me some bullshit explanation like you're an adult and not actually an
actor.
Wait,
but didn't you do the old like used your knees, like put shoes on your knees type of thing and kind of went in
dorfed
that
it.
Way?
Yeah, you dorfed it. Of course.
Dorf on golf?
And that's what I explained to them in the audition. I was like, I'm dorfing it. And they were like, literally nobody gets that reference. Get out of here.
You old.
And they were right. Yeah. They were right.
They were right. I'm sorry. So that's not the meat of the episode, though. Let's turn it back.
The real meat of the episode is it's July, but it looks like it's winter outside. And there's all these storm clouds. And why wouldn't anybody else kind of be freaked out by this? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be people who rely on crops and other things in their garden to grow. Like, the town should be freaking out.
Here's what we need. We need, to your point, Pete, the exposition radio station to come on and be like, whoa, lots of farmers freaked out by this weather. And now back to a little song we call Rick's Been Helping Grundy. Rick's Been Helping Grundy.
And just a friendly reminder, giving a shout out to Rick, who's probably out there feeding a giant that nobody else has seen and nobody minds that's in the woods.
But have we seen Rick feed Grundy lately? Because Grundy hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting maybe that he hasn't been feeding Grundy, but just like a bunch of squirrels. Just leaving pizza and fried chicken for them.
Probably just as, you know, he hates Mondays like a lot of us. And, you know, Monday he doesn't eat. You know?
You're thinking of Garfield.
Yeah, that's it. You think he's feeding Garfield? He hasn't fed it. There's no lasagna been dropped off.
It's coming.
But it's not. I guess what I'm saying is I feel like Rick is feeding Grundy and et cetera. Like, it's not like he's earmarked all of that food for the creature that had killed his parents. Like, he's probably feeding all manners of beast in the woods.
Mm. Do you think he's saving some for himself? Do you think he gets like 17 buckets of fried chicken and he's like, I'll take a drummy?
I mean, anytime I bring food to someone, I have a little nibble.
You pinch off the food?
You're bringing food. You're like, oh, let me just have it. You got to taste it. Make sure it tastes good for the person.
When you were a teen, you were a pizza delivery boy, right? And you were famous for Sal's famous 7-slice pizzas.
That's right. Well, I always said, one for daddy.
Wow, that is great.
But to your point, I was a boy then. So I was going to say,
Grumpy Joe over here.
I would deliver the pizza with one slice missing, and then I would go, ha, 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 and turn and walk away.
Tell you what, that was a better laugh than that kid does on the show.
Oh, God! I'm sorry. Stop.
I'm sorry. Listen, Mikey's going to be nice and normal, I got a lump on some kid on this show, all right?
I guess so. You have a quota.
You consider Mikey's behavior in this episode normal?
I mean, relatively to last season, yes.
I don't know. He's entered a new phase of weirdness. It's like he's like big. He's like Tom Hanks in Big weirdness. It's like he's grown up a little bit, but he doesn't know how to run the body very well, feels like.
Hey, no? Listen.
What do you think? I mean, at least we got some Mikey Pat time. You had to have liked that, right, Pete?
Yeah.
I did. Until the evil Plato got a hold of him. But I thought the, you know, like the... him being excited to kind of work on the robot and then Pat being like, lug nuts, kid. That's where it's all at. You know, gave him a little wax on, wax off, and then Mikey not getting the reference because he's not as old. I thought that was fun.
It was fun. But I got to say, the fact that Pat, famous sidekick, is training Mikey, great father, training Mikey in like some pretty lowercase s sidekick stuff. Feels like not what Mikey wants. And I feel like Mikey...
Pat himself got sidekicked. You know what I mean? So finally it's somebody he gets to kind of train and bring up. You know what I mean?
So he's sidekicking his son?
Yeah,
he's passing on the sidekickery?
We'd like to see him, you know, hopefully he'll realize the error of his ways and kind of like, you know, not do what he got done to
it. I do feel like we need to settle with something with Mikey soon because every episode... so far, we've gotten some sort of, hey, this is, he gets some role and then it gets screwed up and he's like, no, this is what I want my role to be. Yeah. And it keeps changing every single episode. Like, I think last episode was the one where he said, no, I want a Stripe Junior, right? I want a robot suit of my own. So I feel like we need to get to that versus this was a step back and now he's using an enormous wrench.
A comically large wrench.
Yes.
Where's Zeke also?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got no Zeke in this app. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was tough. That was the toughest part of the episode, honestly.
And do you think that maybe when they were sitting around the creepy dark table in the family room having their creepy family meeting, that maybe Mikey was kind of like, hey, maybe I should bring up the fact that I've killed two. You know, like I'm a killer. I deserve a seat at this table.
I did like that admission, but it was very offhand.
Yes.
I mean, this gets into something that I have an issue with superhero television in particular, the Arrowverse in particular, is, though it's all across superhero TV, is the constant wrestling with should we kill, should we not kill? It's just
That's a real thing to wrestle with. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Well, not right?
Yeah.
Not for us.
Well, I mean, let's face it. If somebody had to do the killing in this group, it would be me. I would have to do it. I would save you guys and kill the bad guy. And that Yolanda's right.
Save us from what? I have a lot of questions. Also, honestly, Pete, I don't know if you have the stomach for it. I feel like you have the anger, but on the backside, you're too gentle. You're a gentle giant.
How dare you?
I dare you. I insult you by calling you gentle.
That's right.
Well, this is, I don't think, again, just to get back to it, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way that they executed what Mikey was talking about or Yolanda is wrestling with over the course of the episode, because she's also getting into the should superheroes kill debate. It's just I've watched it on so many shows that I felt like I didn't need to see it again. I understand why it's important here, but I kind of want to move past that and discuss other things because there's a lot of other things that are interesting and are different.
Yeah, like should you maybe just wound people? You know what I mean? Like shoot them in the leg.
Yeah, wound.
You know what I mean? Or just like strangle them until they pass out a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see more of a should I kneecap the bad guys debate.
Yeah, exactly.
But to your point, Alex, because I agree with you, I feel like that's something non-comics fans obsess about. Like, why doesn't Batman kill and all that? And it's just like, I feel like comics fans and like fans of these characters on all these CW shows and Stargirl, it's like, they just don't. So like, we don't have to re-debate it all the time. If we can just accept it and move into it, and if it does happen, then we talk about it, because I don't mind some of the notes of the Yolanda story. Like, I thought this was like truly a big emotional episode and almost like a harder core drama than what Stargirl has been before, but because it felt like it was based on the character, not this sort of simplified debate like should people kill if they wear a cape. And it's like we don't need that. The answer has been decidedly no for most all characters.
Yeah, pretty much. Even sorry, Pete, but even in Arrow, where the first season, and the showrunner straight up said this, he was a serial killer in the first season. He, in the second season, is like, maybe I shouldn't be a serial killer. So I feel like we did that, what, a decade ago at this point? Like you're saying, Justin, let's move on and move on to something else, because particularly with Yolanda's storyline, there's a lot of more interesting notes. Like, one thing that I appreciated about this, and this is something they've done consistently with their story, is take religion seriously and not cast it as the villain. You know, my natural instinct, and I don't know about you guys, but watching this, you hear that priest that she's giving confession to. The entire time I was like, here it goes. He's a Calypso. He's going to come out. Yeah. He's the bad guy. He's going to get her. But nope, he's actually just a helpful, steady figure in her life. And to me, that is a much smarter choice.
But yeah, I agree.
But he ratted her out to her mom there. That was rough. Where, you know, it was like,
I don't think he did the wrong thing. It's how the mother dealt with it was the wrong way.
Then he had the nice, like, hey, this isn't what this is about. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to, you know, and I thought that was a nice message. I did like her kind of daredevil moment where she kind of is struggling with right and wrong. And, you know, like, I thought that that was cool. And I agree with you, like, the use of the church as a safe haven and not just kind of like the creepy thing was a nice choice. I was worried it was going to go there, but it was. And I also was very worried in her fever dream that when she slashed, you know, the imaginary person's throat, that it was going to be the father laying on the ground. So I'm so glad they didn't do that.
Good thought, Pete. I do think, especially in an episode that was sort of built around horror movie genre look and feel, that they didn't make the church a horrifying place was an especially surprising and smart choice.
I mean, at the same time, though, we do have the show down there, and we should talk about the question mark returns of Brainwave and Brainwave Jr., which, whatever was going on there, it was great seeing those characters again, because they were so good on the show, and it was such a bummer to lose them, particularly Brainwave, who is a crazy, creepy villain.
Oh, man.
Very creepy. And I have a theory. I do think that Brainwave has left some sort of mark or residual power in Yolanda's brain. And she's riding the Brainwave. And she, my prediction for the end of the season or the big culminating battle is she will somehow find a way to harness this power and use it to help trap Calypso.
Rides the wave and traps Calypso, huh?
Yeah, she's going to hang 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you think, Pete? What did you think about Brainwave and Brainwave Jr. coming back maybe this episode?
I mean, once we kind of realized, she was just asleep in the back of the class and safe, I felt a lot better. But the kind of her visually dealing with her grief and kind of having a back and forth with it was, I thought, was nice. I was just worried about her safety a little bit. And I was also a little worried about how much Court would rather text than, you know, touch base with her friends.
Wow. Well, she's texting. She's trying to get her relationship maybe back going again with Cameron. She's trying to
also
help out
Mikey.
Also,
hey, like, don't sneak up on somebody. All right. Like, hey, dudes, like, that's not a good idea if you're like, oh, man, I'm going to scare this girl and that'll be fun. It's not.
What are you talking about specifically?
I'm talking about when he tried to bum rush Court in the middle of the street and he puts her against the wall. Okay. And it's like, don't sneak up on people. There's a lot of shit going on and don't do that.
I feel bad, Pete, because I'm standing right behind you.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Remember that?
I
got Alex.
I do
he
like
might
that
not like little kids, but he
I do
got
like
scared
that
Alex.
We're continuing with the Cameron Courtney relationship. I do think that is very cute. It felt like it reached a breaking point a couple of episodes back, so I'm glad that it didn't. Cameron seems to be
he was
cool.
Like, oh, I'm out of here, but it seems like he's not.
No, he's good. Unless there's something else more going on with him since he's gotten his ice powers, so maybe he's bad and working with Cindy and there's going to be some sort of twist there, but I don't think so. He seems pretty
Cindy
on
twist.
The level.
Cindy's gooped up, man. I don't think she's doing much.
Yeah, she's in Gooptown. She took a one-way train to Gooptown.
That's what your parents said when your family pet died. So it's up in Gooptown. Beloved goldfish. Beloved goldfish C-3PO is in Gooptown.
They melted down all my pets. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, so speaking of Gooptown, Justin, you're the shade expert. So it seemed like Shade, you know, like either is bleeding or shit himself a little bit. Like what was, because Barb was like looking at it and I couldn't tell if it was chocolate syrup or blood or what, because it was so darkly lit.
Yeah, what's going on? Was the shade shitting through the ceiling?
Yeah, does the shade Justin, like can't?
Well, yeah, was he doing that? Was
you
he
know
like,
the shade's powers. Does the shade leave a little bit of itself everywhere it goes? Like how does that work?
There's a great story arc in the Starman comic where Shade sort of came from, entitled, if I can remember this correctly, "Excuse me, sir, is that diarrhea on your pants?" And it sort of, but it reintroduced the Shade dealing with a lot of personal problems. I thought this moment was cool. First off, I love the American Dream board meeting scene where they're all like,
"Great, get Barb back in it, come on."
Barb's in it. They're all sitting around being like, "Hey, is this a business? What do we do here?"
Hey, and Barb's like, any what thoughts? If we... yeah. Let's not give up.
I felt like that scene was targeted directly at our podcast. I know that's impossible because they filmed it months ago, but I was like, thank you. Thank you for the scene and just having everybody recognize that this business is nonsense right now. Yeah.
It's not and Barbara's well. Like, what if we just had money? And they're like, I like Barbara's idea.
I like Barbara's idea. Let's keep spending money Motion we don't passes. Have. Agreed.
Well, so what did you think, though, of the moment where she looks at Jordan's painting and his theme comes in? My sense of it was that she realizes, okay, maybe he was actually trying to do something good here, and maybe I can channel those good things that he was doing, even though it's ominous to potentially step into his footsteps.
And that was so close to what he wanted. He got excited and shit himself. That's what you're saying.
No, that's mm-hmm. not what we're not doing that part. Okay. I agree with you, Alex. I also think her looking at that, struggling with the concept that he is this horrible villain who wanted to kill a ton of people. But also, he did have good ideas. Again, putting us on this theme that I think is the season-long theme of the gray areas between heroes and villains, and that everyone is sort of a little bit good and a little bit bad.
Justin, now, is it ghost lube? Is that what it is? It's like ghost lube so you can go through walls and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, you need to grease the wheels a little bit when you're walking through
stuff. Well, explain to me why the Shade left residue then, please.
So the Shade was injured, maybe mortally wounded in his battle with Eclipso. Okay. And I think he's struggling to reform himself.
He's bleeding out.
He's bleeding. His shadow powers are injured and bleeding. And that's what manifests there. And I think I like that it's a great, what? What?
No, just, you know, blood is really like the shit of veins is the way that I think about it.
That's where your mind went while Justin was talking?
Just while you were talking, sorry.
Ha-ha, blood, shit of veins. What is going on in that fucking head?
When you get a nosebleed, you did start it, Pete, unabashedly so. When you get a nosebleed, Alex, you call it face diarrhea, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
I'm like, oh, don't look. I got to go to the bathroom, to the toilet.
Oh. I'm sorry.
You guys sneeze into the toilet, right?
I'm sorry, everybody. It's my fault.
Wish I did. I wish I did. Anyway, if I may say, I do like that the Shade it gives Barbara a good role here in the sort of the superhero side of things. And I like that Shade and Barbara had this connection. It's almost like Pete's connection with Amy Smart.
Was anybody else like, you know, in the detective scenes when they always touch something and then they like smell it or they rub it on their teeth because they think it's Coke or something? Anybody else want that to happen or just me?
Why did everybody keep touching the goop? That's my big question. Like,
if there's goop in a room, how are you going to ignore it? What are you going to do? Yeah.
I don't know. I not touch it, I guess. It just feels like, particularly when there's like Eclipso going around and all of these other things, I wouldn't be touching dark supernatural goo.
You're never going to get random superpowers if you don't randomly touch weird things.
It's 100% definitely going to corrupt them. You know, same thing with Mikey playing around with the Eclipso stone. Why is that a good idea? None of that is a good idea.
Well, he just was briefly covered with leeches, Alex. What's the big deal?
Was it leeches? It looked like Play-Doh to me. Am I the only one who thought?
He said it was leeches afterwards. It wasn't 100% clear, but it was definitely
leeches. It looked like horribly done.
He would have said if he was like, oh my God, I'm covered in Play-Doh.
Yeah.
I wanted to eat it.
Even worse.
Plato was the original caddy for Mike.
Yeah, he could eat his way out. He'd be all right.
Well, Plato, you can't play with Plato too long because it also sucks your blood. Or your body, your inside diarrhea. That's why, as Alex refers to.
I'm really sad that we went there with this podcast.
You're
sorry.
Sad?
It's my fault.
I am. This is a very serious, heartfelt episode.
Let me just say, Alex, none of us, we're all complicit here. P brought it up, and then you kept it going.
I know.
You kept it going.
It's definitely my fault. I feel bad. That's what I'm saying.
Wow, what shame.
I feel bad, like Yolanda felt bad in this episode boy. Because of all the things she was doing and the emotional weight of everything that was going on.
Right.
One other
we'll
thing
just,
to bring.
We'll just edit out all that diarrhea stuff and it'll fit cleanly together with the stuff we talked about.
Hey, why is this podcast 1 minute long? I don't know.
I bet they talked about diarrhea for 40 minutes. I'm a regular listener.
Let's talk about the JSA, though, before we start to wrap up here. There's not a lot of stuff with the other members necessarily, but it does feel like, I don't think they're going to break up for good. This definitely feels like the brink of the JSA breaks up. We get that for a couple of episodes before they ultimately come back together for the final battle. Is that the feeling you guys got as well?
I don't know, though. I mean, Beth looked pretty broken. I was really surprised in this episode. I thought Beth was going to be supportive and Rick was going to be a real dick about it, but it completely swapped. Rick was listening and supportive, and then Beth was like, I don't know. And I was really surprised by that meeting, and I was like, man, Beth is going through so much that, and then she had to be a dick at the meeting. I was like, I can't. They're piling on Beth right now and Yolanda, and it's heartbreaking to watch.
Well, and especially we get this little moment at the end with the laughing lollipop chewing child outside of Beth's place. Like, Beth's next on the Eclipso hit list.
Which is weird because Beth didn't give that creepy kid a lollipop. You know, you would think that the creepy kid would go after Yolanda, but I guess giving the lollipop was maybe what saved Yolanda's life.
It could be. Also, he was polite enough to finish the candy before he went on to terrorize the next member of the JSA.
Yeah, when I saw that creepy-ass kid, the first thing I thought of was, wow, this is a polite child.
You get all your giggles outside before you go into someone's house. That's what I do. You'll often see me laughing in front of your homes before I enter.
Oh, my God.
Getting the giggles out. I agree. I think the team is falling apart, only to come back together. And my prediction goes even further. I think Grundy will join them to fight against Eclipso because of his relationship with Rick. I think Cindy and Dr. McKnighter will come out of this goop town to come back and aid them. And it'll be maybe even Sportsmaster and Tigress will come out and join them.
I believe it's pronounced Tigress.
That John. Is not how it's pronounced.
Tigress. It's because she's a human Tigger. That's where she takes her name from.
Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, you're talking
about. Yeah, Tigress. She bounces here, bounces there, bounces everywhere.
Okay.
I think you're talking about gummy bears.
I'm not sure what I'm talking about.
Justin, I would like to say, I think we've seen that before, and this show is going to make a different choice. We're not seeing a team come together. We're watching a team slowly fall apart. And I think that's how the show is going to end and the season's going to end. They're just going to look at each other like strangers and be like, we could have been something. And then, try to get day jobs.
I think the last line of this season is going to be Courtney looking at everybody else and be like, show's not called fucking Young JSA Assholes.
Wow.
Solo time.
Solo
bitches.
Time.
Solo
and then
time,
she
bitches.
Jumps on the cosmic staff and flies off and has a good time.
Let me say, though, to that point, Alex, taking it seriously a little bit, we have not gotten a lot of time with Courtney this season. A lot of the episodes have focused on other characters. She's been sort of the cheerleader trying to hold the team together and stay positive and go
she's
after
doing a horrible
different
job.
Things. Yeah, she's not succeeding, and we're only seeing just her be like despondent about it. We haven't really been with her as she's made any moves or done anything that feels very proactive. And I think that's, I hope we're going to get a lot of that. She is the shining star at the center of the show. I think once everyone falls apart, this next episode where Beth is going to come under fire from Eclipso and maybe one more focusing on Rick, And then I feel like it's all Stargirl bringing the group back together.
I think that's a really good theory, because right now, to your point, all she has really been is this tool in a certain way to beat the bad guys. We've seen the Cosmic Staff hurt the Shade. We've seen the Cosmic Staff hurt Eclipso. Courtney has saved people a couple of times, but like you're saying, we haven't really dug into her emotionally, except for the episode with Jenny that I do think pushed her in a certain way. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right on the money with that.
Well, I hope but you're that not episode right, also, because that means two more sad episodes before the show turns around.
Can I talk about my big issue for the season that I keep forgetting to bring up? Mikey? I want more summer school. There's not enough summer school. There's like one scene maybe per episode where they're sitting in the back of class and then nothing
Come
happens.
Come on, you've got that whole teacher who's trying to put a lesson plan together last minute.
This is a case of my expectations, but I hear summer school and I'm like, here we go. We're going to have crazy hijinks in the school all summer. Nope. Zero. Mostly not in the school.
Long church-based dark emotional journeys are what summer school is all about.
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, I agree with you that at summer school.
Yeah, true. I agree with you. This season, when it was called summer school, I was like, okay, and then I was like, nope, not that at all. Just sort of a dark meditation. I mean, summer school is a bummer.
So yeah, absolutely.
It hurts. It definitely hurts.
So maybe that's what they're going for. They weren't going for summer school, the old movie, the old 80s comedy. They were going for summer school, the reality.
Guy was in the bathroom for most of it and then comes back and aces the test.
Oh, that's a great bit.
Another great reference we've made for the fans.
Before we wrap up here, who was the star of the episode? Pete, who is the star of the episode?
Super clear, Barb all day. It's important that we had that meeting to reestablish how important Barb is for this town. And also for the jobs that are attached to the town.
I love Barb's ability to handle the small town economy is really impressive. I got to give it up for Yolanda. Like, we didn't really talk about the performance that Yolanda gives here. Tough stuff. She has to walk down the street, grabbing her head, seeing visions, and sort of play it straight. And I think she does a good job. Really great, great episode for her.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's her episode. It's Yvette Monreal's episode here with Yolanda. She does an incredible job in almost every single scene. This is deeper emotional work than I think we've seen from anybody on the show, so that's very impressive there. But if I was to give it up to somebody else, I would say Brainwave, just because great, terrifying villain.
You love.
I do. He's scary. And the delivery is scary. It's weird. It's upsetting whether he is just in a figment of her imagination or not, and I want to think he is not. There actually is something going on there. It's good to see him back on screen because, like we talked about many, many times, the show does villains very well.
Well, let me ask you, do you think Mikey is going to become
his Play-Doh Master?
His touching of the Eclipso Diamond made me think, is he heading toward being an Eclipso? The Eclipso?
Potentially, I could see that. It would be very silly if the final battle is everybody versus Mikey, but I could see that setting up a corruption of sorts for him, because we haven't really gotten that. We've seen Eclipso corrupt a few people, but not necessarily our main characters, and that's definitely coming. There is no doubt in my mind that's coming.
Well, let me throw this out to you. I know we should have talked about this earlier, but what if Mikey, he is tainted by Eclipso, he is tempted, and he falls into it, because what we've seen is these characters who are taken by Eclipso vanish. He eats their souls or whatever. What if we follow Mikey on that journey and they're not killed? They're just in this shadow dimension. And Mikey ends up being the hero.
Or what if he is killing him and we follow Mikey as he goes to hell?
Where all creepy kids go.
Yeah.
Another chocolate volcano, Mikey.
If you love them so much, why don't you eat them forever?
He's like, anyway, bring it on, sweet devil.
Yeah, it's like he's Homer Simpson with the donuts in hell. Another Very good. Very timely reference. If you'd like to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Stargirl. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at StarGuysPod, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Star Guys out.